turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 24 tonight. Book of Psalms, chapter number 24. We're going to begin reading in verse 3. Actually, we'll go to verse 1, and then our main text will be verse 3 through 5. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Sorry, Brother Durth, I didn't give that to you. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord. I'm thankful that He allows us to feel His presence. Thank you for standing. I didn't tell you to do that. Thank you. Verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." Verse 3 will be our text for the evening, verse 3 through 5. "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to preach on clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We pray that You would speak to our hearts from the youngest to the eldest, Lord, that You would minister to us tonight as Your people. Father, we want to be where You are tonight. God, we want to be in Your presence. That's our desire. It's our need, Lord. It's our want as a child of God to be with You. And I pray tonight You just minister to our hearts. Come by, Lord. Touch Your people. Thank You for Your goodness and mercy, Lord. We love You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank You for standing in reverence of the Word. You know, our young people, I think it was some of our young ladies sang the song not too long ago, "Give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another." You know, it's amazing to me how precious and how valuable the presence of the Lord is, Brother Heath. You know, it's until you're not in His presence or have went for a little while without His presence that you begin to realize just how much you need to be in His presence. Have you ever been there? Has there ever been a season in your life where you found after a little while, hey, it's been a long time since I've really been lost in worship. It's been a little while since I've felt the liberty of the Spirit. It's been a little while since I've felt the joy of the Holy Ghost in service or at home or in my devotions. It's just been a little season of dryness. And all of a sudden, as you begin to seek after God and you begin to push into His presence, that all you feel that liberating worship come on you again, and you feel the sweet refreshing of the Spirit of God, and all at once you are reminded of just how precious it is to be in the presence of the Lord. Can you say amen tonight? Amen. It's a wonderful blessing to be able to serve a God that cares about His people, that is alive and knows exactly what we need and when we need it, and comes by in a manner that is the only way that He can, and just ministers to the hearts of people. I'm thankful for that. This past Sunday services, in both services, we felt a genuine, amen, encounter of the presence of the Lord. In the morning services, folks responded to the message of salvation and was weeping in the altars. Why? Because the presence of the Lord was here. They were responding to the impetus of the Holy Spirit. A Sunday evening, again, just the moving of the presence of God and His sweeping through the congregation. And all at once, you begin to feel the liberty of the Spirit of God as Jesus Himself begins to walk the aisles ministering, amen, to this believer and that believer, and encouraging this discouraged one and lifting up this one that's been broken and ministering and healing. Amen. God is exactly what we need tonight. We need His presence in our daily lives. And I'm thankful that we can feel His presence. You know, it's sad, but you can become used to the presence of God. It can become ordinary to hear the choir sing and not be moved. And yet others may come in and, oh, they rant and rave because the choir did such a wonderful job and they felt the liberty of the Spirit. And yet we can become used to it. You can become used to the blessings of God, the presence of God, to the point where we lose our desire and hunger to be in His presence. It's like being friends with somebody. When you're with them all the time, sometimes you can forget about how much you really appreciate them. And then all of a sudden they're not there, and that you long for more time in that relationship. You long for more time and fellowship and communication. Does anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? You realize how important it really is to be with the God who created you, the God who cares about you, the God who's able to minister to your heart when you're hurting and lift you up when you're cast down. It's important to be in His presence. But notice here that the psalmist said there is a stipulation for those who desire to be in the presence of God. It's sad, really, but when I was a child, you know, at Camp Dove or even here or in chapel services, Sister Norvell, it felt so easy to walk in. And automatically, you could just feel God. You know, at Camp Dove, any of those who have been campers here before know that it just seemed like it was automatic. In service, you're going to get a blessing. Around the altars, you're going to go up. You're going to feel God. You're going to cry. You're going to weep. And you're going to leave changed. And then you grow up. And you get bills. And you have kids. Cars break down. Brakes go out. You got to mow the grass. And all of a sudden on a Wednesday night, you're doing everything you can to stay awake, let alone feel the presence of the Lord. Come on now. Hallelujah. The danger in that is it can go several weeks without us realizing it's been several weeks. And we're still tired. But now we're tired and we're in need of a fresh touch of the Lord. You see, David said something that is so true. Those that find themselves in God's presence have been there intentionally. It has been in their desire that they find themselves entertaining the presence of God. Those that have clean hands and pure hearts are not there by accident. They have desired for those two actions. And those two actions are birthed out of an overarching desire that we want to be where God's presence is. You see, if you don't care about the presence of God, then you're not going to care about being pure in your spirit. If you don't care about feeling God's anointing and God's touch in your life on a Wednesday night, if you're more concerned with activities on an electronic device, if you're more concerned, amen, with talking with your neighbor, if you're more concerned about what's happening after church and you could care less about God's presence, then you will have no trouble not being pure in your life. Or not having clean hands, or not having pure motives. You see, when we come to the point in our lives where all that matters is being in the presence of God, all that matters is being under the hand of His anointing, all that matters is being where God is, then all of a sudden our daily communications will change because we don't want to jeopardize the presence of God. All of a sudden our interaction with our peers or with our friends or family or our desire to minister to others becomes more important to us than our own feelings and our own desires and our own selfish wants. All of a sudden, our focus becomes, I want to be where Jesus is, and I don't want anything to jeopardize that. I don't want to watch a movie that's going to cause me to withdraw from the presence of God. I don't want to click on an internet site that's going to cause me to lose my desire to worship or to lose my feeling of the presence of God. I don't want to be in a relationship that's going to drain, amen, the desire for my worship of Christ. I want to be where Jesus is. Amen. The psalmist said that a desire for purity, in essence, is what is going to lead us up that hill where God is. It's a holy hill. It's a hill of purity. Amen. Purity in our minds, purity in our bodies, our soul, our spirit. We're to be blameless and holy as He is holy, the Bible says. This holiness will infect our attitudes, our actions, our desires, our motives, and my interactions. Amen. Being pure will affect my choices in life. It'll affect how I pay my taxes, and it'll affect how I do my job when I'm on the clock. Being pure ought to affect every part of the Christian's life. Because if we are pure in our daily activities, when the moment comes for you and I to make that ascent up the holy hill of the Lord, there is absolutely nothing that will bar us from walking up that hill and being in the presence of God. It's when we make decisions on a personal level, amen, to do things that jeopardize the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, that we lose the opportunity to entertain His presence. I don't want to be in that place. Have you ever seen somebody that you knew at one time in their life, they were in the presence of God, they worshiped freely? We see this a lot at youth camp. Amen. You have that moment in time where God has set aside for you to experience, amen, a genuine divine encounter with the Lord. But all too soon we find ourselves back in the same rut, in the same home, doing the same things that we did before, and we forget how we even got to that place of liberty. You know, young people, I was thinking about you today and while I was at work, and you know, we face a lot of things on a daily basis. You make a lot of decisions constantly. Decisions that are more important than which socks to wear or whether or not to pick them up off the ground of the floor to wear them again. Well, it happens. Let me tell you some youth camp stories. Hallelujah. You make a lot of decisions, and decisions that affect you in church, even when you're not in church. Decisions that I'm sure we would like to take back. I know there's a lot of adults in here that would say there have been moments you wish you could take back a decision or two so that you could have been in the right place when God came by. Here's the thing, though, about grace that I'm so thankful for, that is not to be abused, young people. The Bible said, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." You know what is amazing to me is if we have not had a desire for purity today. Maybe we had a test on our mind and it just got us down and we ended up focusing on something else and never thought about God, found ourselves talking about stuff, you know, or even listening to stuff that just drags us down. We come into church on Wednesday, you're here, you know, that's the first moral victory, but you want more. You know what I have found has been the greatest help to Brother Brian? Honesty. You know, there have been many times in the prayer room on a Wednesday night, I've got in there and said, "Lord, I've worked in the world all day today. I fellowshipped with them, talked with them, haven't really been that spiritually minded, and here I am on a Wednesday night, and I want to be in your presence. You know what, God, I made mistakes today. Would you forgive me? Didn't mean to, just didn't have my focus on like I should have. Would you help me to be pure?" You know what I have found? God's gracious. Hallelujah. What a great God we serve. And all of a sudden, when you're honest, He begins to trouble those waters again, and you feel the presence of the Lord, even if we didn't deserve it. It's because of desire. It's because we desire to be pure in our minds, to have clean hands and a pure heart. It's not a physical representation, although it can be, but it's more of an action that says, "God, in everything in my life, I want to please you. Because God, I value your relationship with me more than I value other things that might be pleasing for a moment, but for a lifetime, it destroys my spirit." Those that entertain the presence of God have a desire for purity. Secondly, they have a decrease in their personal focus, or at least a focus on their own person. You know, humility, the Bible said, in essence, will get you a long ways. Amen. A humble and a contrite spirit, God will in no wise cast out. You know, I have often found many times when I am not in the presence of God and cannot feel Him is because I've been focusing on Brian and not on the Lord. It's when I begin to focus on my own wants, my own needs, my own hurts, my own attitude. So-and-so didn't do it the way I wanted to, and now I'm puffed up, or, you know, you all know. Humility is the key to the presence of the Lord. Because the reality is, we need him. I need him tonight. It doesn't matter if I am the greatest person in the world. In the Lord's eyes, I'm still so far beneath where I could be. But it's amazing to me how, in spite of my inadequacies, and young people, in spite of our faults, if we're humble and we're honest before the Lord and we admit that we need him, all of a sudden, where we're weak, he becomes strong. Where our deficiencies are, he inputs his spirit and his strength, and we find ourselves doing things that we couldn't do on our own and making victorious decisions that lead us to the presence of the Lord, because God is the great equalizer. Everywhere we are deficient, he is perfectly whole. Everything that we need, we find in him. So when we are desiring to be in his presence, and when we are honest with ourselves and say, God, I'm not worthy enough to be in your presence. I'm unholy. I've made mistakes this week. I'm not righteous. Amen. As much as I try, I fall short. But God, if you'll help me, Lord, if you'll be my strength, if you'll be the God to me like you were the God to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Daniel, amen, the God that you were in the Bible, if you'll be that God to me, then by your grace, I'll be where you're at. Hallelujah. Amen. It's humility that leads us to a relationship with God that is fruitful. We will never arrive on our own. We'll never get to a spiritual place where we can stop and put it in cruise control and say, I finally made it. We have elders here in the church that have been saved, some for more than 50 years, and they'd be the first to tell you they still have to have a daily walk with the Lord. It is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by his spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Church, we have got to realize that in our own abilities, we cannot ascend into the hill of the Lord. Amen. But those who stand in the holy place are those that have not lifted up his soul or her soul to vanity or to deceit, but those that have humbled themselves before the hand of an almighty God and admitted all over again, Lord, I'm laying myself at the altar. God, I humble myself, and whatever your will is today, that's what I'm going to do, because I want to be where you are. Notice in the Old Testament, the Lord showed himself as a cloud by day and a pillar by night. And when the cloud or the pillar of fire was stayed, it didn't move, Brother Cruz, the people of Israel never moved. They set up camp there. And then if it moved to the west, they followed it. If it moved to the east, they followed it. But if it stopped, that's where they stopped. That's how our relationship with the Lord is to be today. To be so close to the presence of God and understanding that if that moves and I don't move, I'm going to be in trouble. Because how quickly do we forget that we're in the middle of a wilderness without the presence of the Lord there to sustain us? I'm telling you, church, far too many Christians have found themselves puffed up on their own victories, and not too long after that, they find themselves having fallen because they have forgotten that it's because of the grace of God we're here today. And he's so gracious to us that in spite of our inadequacies, he never turns us aside. He never destroys us. But just like a father pities his children, he brings us in. And he holds us up. He protects us. Amen. Tonight I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord. I'm thankful that he is that kind of God. Amen, that knows tonight that I love him and I want to be where he's at. Rebellion and disobedience to authority are clear indicators that we have elevated our desires above that of our God, of our parents, of our authority. It is a declaration that we know best, and automatically we begin to descend into a mess. Notice here the direction. Who shall ascend? Amen. Who's going to mount up with wings as eagles? Who's going to run? Those who stay with the Lord directionally are going to head up. But notice that any time an individual begins to serve themselves, serve the world, serve the enemy, they begin to descend in their life. Destruction. Their choices begin to compound in things that will always lead to hurt and pain. And even in the middle of a church service, you can make decisions that affect your life in relationship with the Lord. It can. I want to head up. I want to go up a higher level. You know, I've been serving the Lord now for 16 years, and I'm thankful for that. But I found that even in year 16, coming up here in June, I still got to go up higher because I'm still lacking in a lot of areas. Going up higher is a clear indicator, young people, that we are not satisfied with where we're at. We might have, Sunday night was a tremendous experience and encounter with many of our young people. Many of them stayed well past 10 or around 10 o'clock and just seeking the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. But how many of you would agree between Sunday and now, you have faced trials? Amen. You faced temptations. You've been discouraged. You've had to find yourself making decisions of whether or not you're going to do your daily devotions, or whether or not you're going to respect your authority or your parents. How many of you would say, yeah, since Sunday night I have faced things? So that tells me there's always room to go up. There's always more that we can have in the Lord, and we cannot live on past experiences alone. Amen. A desire to be where the presence of the Lord is a desire to go up higher. And when we lower ourselves and humble ourselves, we find that we shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of our salvation. Thirdly, a declaration from the Lord. Those who seek after God will find him. Those who seek after purity will be clean. Those who humble themselves will be exalted, because the Lord promised it. And conversely, those who rebel, they'll see destruction. Those who have no desire for the presence of the Lord will find themselves lacking. Those who don't care about the things of God, sadly, they're going to find destruction. Again, I want to remind us, it doesn't have to be that way. That doesn't have to be the end. You know, there's a lot of folks in here tonight that would say, I made some mistakes, some more than others. And I'm here tonight because of the grace of God. The story doesn't have to end in destruction, Sister Norvell. Hallelujah. You know, there was a young lady that I grew up with and just had a lot of hard times in her life. And, you know, honestly, I never thought she would get saved. I didn't. That's sad to admit that. And I would hope that every believer would have hope that anyone, no matter how far or low they are, can come to the saving power of Jesus Christ and be changed. One night, oh man, I remember the night she got saved. And you talk about liberty. Talk about a life change. The joy that was there that she had been longing for so long had finally come. And the pain that had wrecked her life for so long all of a sudden was not there anymore. And the decisions that she had made that had hurt her, oh, they had been forgiven. And in an instant, what had been a broken, messed up life now was directionally heading up. Amen. God had changed her and saved her. You know, I'm convinced that the Lord just wants folks to come to him humbly. You know, if we would just admit that we need him. We were talking about this in the men's night the other night. I believe Brother Jim brought it up, how especially as men, we can have a veil of confidence that we don't want anyone to see our vulnerabilities, and we don't want to admit that we might be struggling, or we don't want to admit that maybe today we need a fresh dose of grace. But it's in humility that we find that when we respond to the presence of the Lord, that is when joy comes into our lives, and peace comes into our lives, and satisfaction. And and we are finally at rest. We receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of our salvation. And right after this, the next verse, it says, this is the generation of them that seek him. Young people, we will never experience revival without humbly admitting that we need him, without admitting that without him we're nothing. But when we seek the Lord in humility, and when we seek after purity, and when we desire to have a clean hand and a clean heart, all of a sudden God blesses his people. Amen. And they see the righteousness of God is available to those who desire him. Hallelujah. I'm thankful on a Wednesday night the Lord has people that desire him. Amen. And tomorrow on a Thursday, when you wake up, if you'll desire him, I promise you, according to his word, he'll be there. Amen. We will find him if we seek after him, for he is not far from any one of us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you want to be where the Lord is tonight? Amen. I just want to be in the presence of the Lord. That may not always be, amen, a shout down service. That might be finding myself, Brother Cruz, at the altar and then putting his finger on something that doesn't need to be there. But because he loves me, he starts taking that out and filling it with something else that's good and wholesome. Amen. We cannot be satisfied with just emotional responses, young people. We have to get to the place in our Christian walk where we desire the presence of the Lord above anything else, and we would have nothing that would jeopardize the moving of the Spirit of God in our lives. If anything begins to take place, amen, of the Spirit of God in our lives, it has become an idol, and it must be taken out and destroyed. God help us that we get a fresh desire to entertain the presence of God in our homes, in our vehicles, amen, in our jobs, and in the church. Amen. We must have the Spirit of God at work. That's when sinners are going to come to salvation. That's when folks are going to be healed. That's when lives are going to be changed, when God's presence is entertained, amen, in the house of the Lord. And it comes by those who desire the purity of the Spirit of God in their lives on a daily basis. Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I'll never forget one of the greatest moves of God that I can honestly say I was ever in was on a Thursday night at Southern Ohio Youth Camp. And for those who were there, it was literally a wave after wave of the Holy Spirit coming in. Lives were transformed. Amen. It was powerful. But Pastor, I don't know if you remember talking to us about this or not. The Holy Spirit began to talk with Pastor as that service was moving. And as the Holy Spirit began to continually pour himself out, the Holy Spirit spoke to Pastor and said, there will be those here that will mistake my allowing them to feel my presence as a condoning of their sin rather than it being my mercy reaching out to them to draw them back. It was powerful. But I can honestly say that was 11 years ago this year when that happened. And in that time, Brother Philip, there's been folks that were in that service that I witnessed mightily moved on by God. They don't care about the Lord tonight. They're not serving him, doing their own thing. It's confirmation. We can get to the place where all we care about is what we want. That's a dangerous place to be in. But I wonder tonight what would happen if a youth member who, you know, had just been living, just been existing as a teenager, got a lot on your plate, but all of a sudden your focus shifted. Wonder what would happen if one of our men tonight said, Lord, it's been too long. I just need your presence. And oh, tomorrow morning at work, somebody says, man, what happened to you? And you start telling them, I was with Jesus last night. The presence of the Lord is contingent upon those who desire the purity of the Spirit in their lives daily. And thankfully, because those who desire to be pure are pure, His presence moves even on those who are not seeking after Him. And even on those who are not actively desiring His presence. And because maybe the youth group has been prayed up, a youth member who's struggling, all of a sudden they feel the presence of the Lord because somebody's been praying. And they all of a sudden the desire, I need God. And the Holy Spirit begins to prick their heart. I'm not where I need to be at with God. I'm far farther than I ever thought I'd be. And they need Him. Or an individual might drive by. And they feel the presence of the Lord here because you've desired Him to be here. And they get saved. Or you're walking down the street, and because you've been in the presence of the Lord that morning, all of a sudden the Spirit of God says, "Well, Jonathan, I want you to talk to that kid. I want you to witness to him." You see, the Lord knows what He wants to accomplish, but He wants to use people to do it. That's why I want to be where He's at, because I want to be used. I want to be a part of the kingdom. I believe you do too. Can we come find a place to pray tonight and let's just seek the presence of the Lord? You know, if there's something in the way, ask the Lord to take it out. It might be that tonight you've had a sour attitude. It could have been one of those days. Just be honest with the Lord and say, "God, I'm sorry. I pray you'd help me with that thing. Lord, I pray tonight you'd speak to my spirit and help me to be what you want me to be. Help me to be where you are. God, help me to be the man of God on the job you want me to be. Help me to be the husband you want me to be. Help me to be the son that you want me to be. God, if there's rebellion in my heart, I pray you take that out even right now, Lord. Help me to love and respect my parents and authority. Help me to love and respect those whom you have given to me. God, help me to be a young man that's alive and on fire for God. Lord, help us. Help us to be pure in our minds and in our motives and in our dealings in a daily walk with the Lord. God, help us to be where you are. God, I want to be where you are. Hallelujah. Oh, Spirit of God, speak to our hearts tonight. Father, be pleased with us. Oh, Lord, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, God, minister, Lord, tonight. Lord, ignite a burden for the lost in my heart. Allow me to hear your voice, God, directing us to minister. Oh, Lord, help us to be, God, who you want us to be, men and women of God. Lord, a reflection of your light, God, nothing that we could do on our own, but through the grace of God, help us to be who you want us to be. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I thank you that you're not done working on us. Lord, that you're long-suffering towards us. Oh, God, that you're patient. Lord, that you change us and mold us into your image. Oh, God, thank you for the blessings from the Lord that we receive. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, put your finger on that thing. God, oh, God. Lord, it seems so hard to open up, Lord, all the doors of our heart, God, but I pray tonight you'd help us. Lord, search us and know us. Oh, God. Oh, God.